Where's Charlie? It is painful to think about this time, even now. What did I do? I looked all around, of course. I ran up and down. I began screaming Charlie's name. I raced up and down the shrinking beach, staring into the face of every child playing there, in case it should somehow transform into mine. I shouted myself hoarse. My son was nowhere. An aching panic took me over. The sophisticated parts of my mind shut down, the parts that might be capable of thought. I suppose the blood supply to them had been summarily turned off and diverted to the eyes, the legs, the lungs. I looked, I ran, I screamed. And all the time in my heart it was growing, the unspeakable certainty that someone had taken Charlie. At the other end of the little beach was a second set of steps leading up the embankment wall, and I ran up them. Camped out on the top step was a picnicking family. The mother, long auburn hair with rather frazzled ends, sat cross-legged and barefoot, surrounded by the peelings and the uneaten segments of satsumas. She was reading BBC Music magazine. She had it spread out on the rug, pinned down with one foot to stop the pages blowing. There was a slender silver ring on her second toe. Beside her, on the step, two flame-haired girls in blue gingham dresses were eating Kraft cheese slices straight from the packet. The husband, blonde and stocky, stood a few feet away, leaning on the railing and talking into his mobile. "Lanzarote's just a tourist trap these days," he was saying. "You should go somewhere off the beaten track, like Croatia or Marrakesh. Your money goes further there in any case." I was out of breath. The mother looked up at me. "Is everything all right?" she said. "I've lost my son." She looked at me blankly. I smiled idiotically. I didn't know what to do with my face. My mind and my body were keyed up to fight with paedophiles and wolves. Confronted with these ordinary people in this absurdly pleasant tableau, ringed all around by strolling tourists, my distress seemed desperate and vulgar. My social conditioning fought against my panic. I felt ashamed. Instinctively, I also knew that I needed to speak to the woman calmly, in her register, if I was to communicate clearly and get across the information I needed without wasting any time. I have struggled all my life to find the correct point of balance between nicety and hysteria. "I'm very sorry," I said. "I've lost my son."